Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we're speaking to Tara. She has many hats. She's just Tara. She's Willow's mum and she's Tara from Kindship.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right. This is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
How are you?
Yes, great. Thank you.
That's good. You know that we love weather chat peas, and Melbourne's, they're cold and then hot and then warm and then raining.
So that's, I've got like Birkenstocks on with my toes out, but then a cardigan.
we're hedging our bets, whatever that phrase means.
Oh, October.
Yeah, October.
I've got like eczema. My mum was always like, do not get married in October. When did I get married?
October
20th. Yeah, because I always get like eczema on my face or my arms hay fevery
it's
and
hay
all that.
Hay fever.
Anyway.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah.
Mm,
yes, let's... we're speaking to someone in warm weather. She's wearing a tank top.
Yeah, we're excited when we saw the tank top.
Would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello, everyone. I'm Tara, as Mandy said. You may have seen me on run Willow's page. Willow's my daughter, and work for Kindship.
Yes.
So happy to be here and chat, ladies.
We're thrilled to have you. And for some keen listeners, you are married to Kirk, who was a bean.
Yes.
Yeah. Who was interviewed with Gary as well.
Yes.
So
Yeah, he loved doing those. They were great.
Oh,
yeah,
so
they were so
great.
Good. So good. I would be happy if they ever came back. If Gary's ever ready, we would be very happy to have them back.
Kirk will jump on board if he's ready.
Yeah, great. Yeah, well, let's start with our questions.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So do you have a favorite song or band or music that keeps you pumped up when you're feeling good or lifts you up when you're feeling low?
People often ask me like, what's your favorite song? I can never remember names or artists or anything. I love all the music, but I have a Ziggy Albert's playlist.
Yep.
That's just like the perfect combination of what I love. It's like sort of acoustic-y, but it always lifts me up.
Yeah.
And Willow even, in the morning, she started to make a habit because she was struggling to go to school. And I was just thinking of all the things I could do. And we did these visuals and one of them was like we put on music when we get dressed.
Mm-hmm.
So we always put on Ziggy Albert playlist when she gets ready and she'll put it on to calm herself. So it's just a really mix of songs.
Beautiful.
Cooking, everything, we'll put it on. But then one more, Horses by Daryl Braithwaite.
Oh, what a classic.
I love that. One day it came on and I started singing it and Willow started singing it. She'd never heard it before. And she was like, it's like us, Mum. Like if I fall, you pick me up. So now whenever we go to anywhere, that's our go-to request song. Like she had a little karaoke party at a friend's and she's like, can we put Daryl Braithwaite on now? So, yeah, that's become a really special song to us now.
Oh, how gorgeous.
I mean, it is intergenerational.
Totally.
Yeah. That everybody belts that out.
Oh, everyone.
Yeah. Yep. And I love saying, you know, one of the kids is annoyed or whatever. I'm like, that's just the way it's going to be, little darling.
Yes.
Awesome.
All right.
Oh, what are we up to? Okay, sorry, me. And did you win any awards at school or have you won any awards in your life?
I was trying to have a think and I just, like, I think I would have gotten a lot, like, of the little merit ones. Mm-hmm. I was a bit of a goody two-shoes at school. Did all the right things. But there's nothing in particular that stands out to me.
Yeah.
I got house captain. That was a big
challenge. Oh, yeah, that's
yeah. But,
yeah, I can't, I think I would have just got a lot of little ones along the way.
Yeah.
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 I don't even know. I mean, I'm obviously much older than you, but I don't even know if we had little awards.
We didn't. No.
Yeah.
So I don't. I remember.
Yeah. When,
like,
did that come in? Like student of the week every week and stuff that, like that.
I mean, I'm.
They
50.
Have it at school, and Willow's like, so like, I've got to get one this week.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, she's it was, very, should be me. Everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone gets one.
I reckon it might have been the late 90s.
Yeah, maybe.
That it came around.
Mm.
It wasn't the early 90s when I finished.
No. All right, so you're like us. No awards, really.
No big difference.
Yeah.
Okay, and our favourite question, why are you a P?
I am a P because I've spoken about Willow. Yeah. So I'm a mum to three. First daughter of Cruzy, standard pregnancy, everything went to plan. I was actually induced. I went 10 days over with her and she was a whopping 9.9 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, so second pregnancy, I just assumed we'll just be exactly the same. Why wouldn't it? And so I had a few complications, went to hospital along the way to get checked out. At 29 weeks, I had a bleed and it was my second one. So the first one I was just, it was horrific. I was like, I've lost this baby. Mm. Second one, I was like, oh, sweet. Like I was doing my primary internship at the time. So I'm like, I have to go to school. Mm. So I was going to go and Kirk's like, oh, you better just go to the hospital on the way. So I did and I was having contractions. I didn't know I was.
Yeah.
Busy thinking, oh, these are just Braxton Hicks. Like, this is normal. And then, I got to the hospital. I think within an hour and a half, I had Willow.
Wow.
That was 29.
She went. Imagine.
Yeah. Oh. And still so, like, I didn't even tell them I was having Braxton Hicks because I was like, oh, that's usual.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until a lady came in, like, a nurse came in, monitored me, and I said, oh, I'm having, like, I'm like, they could be contractions. I don't know if they're Braxton Hicks. And she panicked and the room instantly filled with all these nurses. And I was still pretty cool and calm and collected. And then it wasn't until one lady like came next to me and she was like, you're about to have your baby. And I just was like, what? So we had Willow at 29 weeks.
Kirk get there?
He just got there in time.
Wow.
So with your first, did you have your first baby vaginally?
Yes.
Were the contractions painful and you knew and it was?
No, well, because I was induced, it sort of.
Oh, yeah.
Quite quickly.
Yeah.
So I had, it was difficult to compare and I did have Braxton Hicks with Ava.
You're probably thinking I'm 29 weeks.
It's
not here.
Yeah. Of course it's Braxton Hicks. So Willow was an emergency C-section. We spent the first, I think, 8 weeks in the NICU.
Mm.
At 2 weeks old, she had a routine brain scan and the doctor told me she had damage to the brain.
Mm.
It was actually, was like the best moment and lowest moment because she had just graduated from her humidity group.
Yeah.
Mm. So I went in, I was like, where is she? And they told me she's in this bassinet. Yeah. I could touch and feel her. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's when I felt like a real mum.
Yes.
Like I couldn't touch her or do anything. So I was overjoyed. And then this doctor came in that I've never seen before and just really abruptly and rudely told me about this damage to her brain and all these things that she would have wrong with her. And he said cerebral palsy, he said intellectual, like he just rattled off this long list. And I was sitting down and I remember I felt like I was going to fall. I felt like at a four, and I said to him, well, she might not have anything, like, you don't know. And he's like, no, she will. And and I just ran out crying. Kirk wasn't with me or anything.
Of course. Did you know she'd had a scan?
No. I didn't even know.
This is terrible. Gosh.
Yeah. So Kirk came in to me running out crying. He's like, what is the matter? And so I told him, and he found the doctor and sort of had a stern word to him.
Really? Was, good.
How dare you talk to my wife without me there?
Yes.
How dare tell her like that, like it's nothing, no big deal.
Yeah. It was just ticking a list. I've got done this, got to go.
Yeah, like, oh, I've got to see the Tara Thompson. Yep, here we go. So that was a pretty scary night. But then we sort of just got on with it. I was always looking for signs, like cerebral palsy just stuck in my head, like sounded like this big scary word. That was the one that stuck out to me. So I just kept looking for signs, and she wasn't, she didn't do much as a baby. Like, she was really lazy and placid. And, but I noticed she started clenching her fists a lot, particularly her right one. It was always fist. And cause Dr. Google, I was like, yep, that's a, so I sort of knew deep down, I think. And then at 7 months old, we had a regular pediatrician appointment, and he confirmed the cerebral palsy diagnosis, and and then that's how it all began.
Yeah.
That's why.
Wow. And so when, back to the birth, were you, why did you bleed? Like what?
So my placenta was quite close to the cervix. Right. So when I had the first bleed, they said that, and I was like, oh, that's my internship gone. So am I on bed rest? And they're like, no, do everything normal. I'm like,
okay. Oh. Is that actually, should that have been the advice you were given?
Yeah, well, I continued doing my internship, which is stressful. Like,
yes.
So, yeah, in the end, my placenta ruptured just as they got her out.
Wow.
So it was very, crazy time.
Unbelievable. And how big was she?
She was 3.3 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Little.
I think that's like 2 kilos.
Yeah. Little. Yeah. One something, wouldn't it?
Oh, 1.4.
Yeah,
kilos.
Yeah.
So she was tiny. But by the time we left, she actually could leave hospital at, I think she was 10 weeks. So she was like 40 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Corrected age, but by the time we left, she was huge. Like, I just I make big babies. So it was great. She left nice and chubby, and
so I found you on Instagram when you were doing all of her early intervention, and I was just like, wow, this
woman
is incredible. And what you were bringing to the world about all that home therapy. My girls are older, so I did little bits of stuff like that, but to see you doing it online was just incredible. tell us about how you started that.
So we got the diagnosis, and I think I just assumed I accepted it straight away because I was like, I have to. She's my daughter. Everything's fine. I just got stuck into the early intervention world, going to these appointments. It was just so consuming. I felt like I was in this weird bubble of, I just don't know. Like, I was okay, but I don't know. I just went full force in the early intervention world. So taking her to these appointments and then trying to do the therapy at home, and it was just all felt very stressful. Then I was Googling, like, at the time she had to do bimanual therapy and constraint therapy.
Yeah.
I started Googling it, and I'm like, there's nothing on there. Like, how could there be nothing to help me to know what to do? Obviously I learned from the therapist, but that just baffled me. And
can we just explain what that means?
So constraint therapy, because her – at that age, like at 7 months, a year old, Willow didn't even know she had a right hand.
Yeah, yeah.
So just didn't exist. So constraint therapy is when you don't allow her to use her functional hand, like you put a bandage or something. We could have had it casted, but we never went down. We just stuck to the therapy. So then it sort of forces her, if she wanted to touch something, trying to get those brain waves to use that hand. And then bimanual therapy is all about using that hand as a helping hand and
using
ways that you have to have two hands to play with.
Yes.
But so I knew what it was, but I was just struggling. Like, she was little. I'm like, it needs to be fun.
Yes. Surely
there was nothing. And I also found it hard. Ava was two at the time, and I was like coming home to therapy. Like, I was just so consumed in it all.
Yeah.
And felt guilty that I was leaving her out.
Yeah.
One day, I just always remember it. Kirk had like this wood lying around, and I'm like, oh, it was like a big plank of wood. So I got it out, and I got all these paints out, and she used her two hands. Ava was using it for sensory play. We were all just playing together. And I thought, oh my God, she's sitting. She's using her hands.
Yes.
Her core, she's using her neck muscles, and Ava was there, and I'm like, it's just play, like, and it just sort of ignited something.
Yeah.
So I have a background in childcare and love creative, so it just sparked this passion for early intervention, and I started just playing with my girls at home and then just incorporating it like that. I started the page to start with to just share what we were doing with Kirk, my husband. And then I invited my family, and I'm like, oh, this is what I'm doing with Willow at home. And then I thought, oh, I wonder if I should just take it off private and I'll tag by manual therapy and physio and play therapy. And so I started doing that and sharing these activities we were doing at home, and it just went from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So a few years that sort of blew up.
Yeah.
But when I mentioned about the acceptance part, I feel like that's truly when my acceptance journey began, because I all of a sudden I was talking to families all over connecting with them, and I was just like, wow, and I felt like me again, and it was the most amazing journey.
Yeah I feel like you were one of the first to be doing that.
Yeah. Well, now there's a few parents with their kids are younger, and I'm like, oh. And I miss it so much. Like, I miss having that time with them at home. It was really special. Mm. They all loved it. And they got to a stage where Willow's got such a good relationship with therapy, like appointments. Her physio is hard, but she loves to go.
Yeah.
And, when she was a little bit older, like 3 or 4, she would ask me to do therapy, like, what are we doing today?
Yeah.
And, then as she got a little bit older and the sassiness started, she would like fall over or something, and then she'd be like, that's because we didn't do therapy yesterday.
Okay, my fault again.
And we have to say, and I think this matters more than I can even articulate, you made it beautiful.
Oh my gosh, you did.
And it was pretty, and it was aesthetic, and it matched your home, and it wasn't like all this red and yellow plastic. And I just think for so many of us who are plunged into a different life, you're like, oh, this doesn't match with mom, but I like a nice home.
Well, that just made me feel happy. I would set up these beautiful things for her, and that just gave me so much satisfaction.
Yes.
And we always had like music on, and like I just wanted it to be just not chaos. Or it wasn't chaos.
And you'd worked in childcare, as had I, so there, like, we knew chaos. We room of 33-year-olds or, 10 babies. And you know that you can do that sort of stuff. I sort of set up a room, and I was like, one of my friends came over and said, what is going on here? I was like, well, I've just started my own childcare center. I love setting up their quiet play and all their little people play. I loved it.
So fun. Well, I used to like the sensory rice and all that. Yeah. Like, mess, but we just cleaned it up.
Yeah.
Like, not a big deal.
No, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, you did a lovely job.
Yeah, it was really fun to watch.
Yeah, it was really great to watch. There was a little part of me great to watch, and another part of me going, I don't want her to burn out. That's how I was feeling for you.
I never did any. If I did feel like I burned, it was usually Willow as well. Like, if we were tired, then it wasn't this pressure. At the start, it was this pressure, like, oh, I've got to work on this and we need to do that. Yeah,
it feels very time pressure when they're little with CP. Yeah. It's like, well, you've got time, we've got to do this before the muscles get too tight, or
Well, even, and I think therapists, like, you've got to retrain, these are the years of retraining. Brain just, but I did get into my groove, and that's what I said to parents too. Don't look at what we're doing and think, oh, I'm not doing enough. Like, whatever you're doing is enough.
Yeah.
Some days we did nothing. Sometimes we had like big breaks where we did nothing.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's important. There's no point doing it if it's stressful for you and you're trying.
Mm. Oh, you did a great job. Tell us a little bit about the surgery that you did overseas and how did that come about?
Yeah, so it's funny. There's someone reached out to me on Instagram when Willow was about one and let me know about this surgery called SDR surgery. He asked to, like, he wanted to tell me all about it. He said his son had the surgery, and I was like, oh, okay. And, but I sort of was like, well, no, she's only one. Why would I think about surgery? Yeah. So I just put it at the back of my brain. But then being on, having the Instagram page and connecting with these families,
yes, I was
more and more about this surgery. Mm. So when she was about two, I brought it up to our Australian specialist team. And they flat out just were like, no way. You don't even think about it. That, like, she won't be having that surgery. I was like, oh, okay, that's it. And I stopped thinking about it. But then it just kept coming back. And then more and more parents were telling me about it. I was seeing more of these children that had it. So I brought it up again 6 months later. Again, it was flat out, no. I told her. And then I started researching it, actively researching it. I think this was a bit before she was three, and I started having a lot of conversations, like purposeful, meaningful conversations with other parents. And I learned a lot about it. And I remember there was a specialist appointment and I brought it up to him and I was telling him all the things. He's like, to be honest, you seem to know more than I do. And I was like,
wow,
crazy. And I was like, all right. So I'm like, and there was this doctor in St. Louis called Dr. Park. So a lot of children were getting fundraising and seeing him. And at the time he'd done the surgery 4,000 times. And so going into the next appointment, so we go to Westmead Children's Hospital, and she's got a great team. I really respect all the doctors. I think they're great, which is why I listened to them.
Yeah, of course.
I trusted them so much. So I think, I don't know, she might have been about three by this time when I brought it up again, and then I said, well, how many times, like, have you done the operation? And they said yes. And I'm like, how many times? They said 29. I'm like, so 29 this year? And they're like, no, 29 all up. I'm like,
yeah. Well, it's not in Australia.
Yeah. So I thought, what's the worst that can happen? We'll apply, we'll see what this doctor says. It was a huge application process. We had to send MRIs and spinal x-rays and all the things and videos. And he got back to us like a month later and just said that she's actually a perfect candidate. And just there were so many dot points of how it would change her life, like improve her sleep, improve how she would move, like just tiny things that weren't tiny to us, that were everything. And one of them was he could see her walking independently and if she had the operation. And so we just decided that we have to go for it. So we started fundraising.
Because that would cost us a fortune.
Oh, yeah. It was, I think, the surgery, because she had to have SDR and PERC surgery, which is calf lengthening. I think it was over $100,000. We just didn't have $100,000. I don't think anyone has. And weren't in a position to borrow it. And I was working because I was home with Willow. So I have amazing friends and family. And for a year and a half, we fundraised the money. And yeah, we went over. I think she was turning, she was four when we went over, turning five. And it actually went really smoothly. We were over there for 5 weeks. I made a social story for her.
I remember you being over there. And
And she just, she thought that was the best thing in the world. She would read it every night. And then it was just perfect because she, and it was on the SDR surgery. So even to the airport, I'm like, when we get, because she has a diagnosis of autism as well. So just things, she loves to know what's happening. She gets overwhelmed by situations. And so I put everything in there, like at the airport, it will be busy. You will have to wait in a line and she would recite as we're going, didn't even have the book, but would still.
Awesome.
She's like, I'm going to be patient because I know we have to wait in this line. I'm like, and she's so young, but she's just so clever and
she
smart.
She is.
Clued on. Mm. So that was the best thing I'd ever done, that that social book, because she had to be in bed for 5 days, not moving, not even sitting up.
Can you explain the surgery, what SDR means?
Yep. So this is not technical language. This is terms that I understand. So it's a spinal operation where they cut the nerve. So, and that like loosens the spasticity, because that's the cerebral palsy that Willow has, which just means her body is tight.
Yes.
So she learned to use her body with it being tight. So by not having that spasticity meant that she could use it with more confidence, and she could use in a way that she couldn't before.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the downside to that was we would sort of have to retrain her way of moving.
Yes.
And because she was using her body with that tone and tightness, with that gone, she lost strength.
Yes.
So it was actually very scary after we got out of hospital. Because she could sort of stand up holding us, and
but she was more weak then. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Like Botox.
Yes, and could walk in her walker, and then after it, she couldn't do any of that.
Yeah, right.
At this moment, what the hell have we done?
Oh.
It was awful. Mm. But she had we were there for 5 weeks, so she had, I think, 3 weeks of intense rehab. And by the end of it, I actually came home 2 weeks earlier to be with my other two girls. So couldn't be away for them for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of it, Kirk had sent me a video of her walking independently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She'd never been able to do in her life, which was phenomenal. We didn't go into it so she could walk, not at all. Like, we went into it so she could sit on the floor properly.
Yeah.
She couldn't sit on the floor. She legs were so tight.
More comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just changed her life in so many ways. And I'm just like, if I didn't meet these parents online, and
you wouldn't have known about it, because it's not done here.
Yeah.
So what do your specialists say about it? Were they impressed?
So
hard for them, maybe.
They got on board a little bit more, I think, once we decided. And once I explained to them that I'm not going there for a miracle, it's not about her walking. That didn't matter. I'm like, if I can give her a better quality of life and keep her, like, make sure she's a little bit more comfortable, why wouldn't I do that? So that sort of, I think, them knowing that my expectations were realistic, they did get on board a little bit. I remember her physio at the time still wasn't pro operation either, so it was quite scary, because
I bet it would have been.
I trust you guys so much, but I just was going with my gut and what the other parents said.
Yeah.
But coming back, after they saw her after the operation, actually we came back and I think they saw her once, and then it was COVID. So
of course,
appointments. And with SDR, it's not 6 months that's the progress, it's years.
Yeah.
So years of progress from it. And then I guess you probably get to a baseline. But, yeah, they were so happy. They thought it was a great success. They never really raved, like, never said this was the best thing, or, like.
They can't, I suppose.
Great that you've done this or anything like that. But, no negative comments, like, you shouldn't have done it, or, and every time she's been, they've been really happy with her progress and how she's moving and
I remember like. What hit me was you came back with these awesome AFOs from America and then you couldn't replicate them here. And as an AFO mum, I was just like, oh, I can just imagine what you're going through.
Yeah. Well, even AFOs, I'm like, she'd had them since she was little. I just assumed that's what they are.
Yeah,
like,
same.
They feel crap. They don't
fit in shoes. They're
thick. And she just grew up thinking, well, I've got to wear them.
Yeah.
And I was like, you have to wear them. So these ones in America were amazing. She could stay in them all day.
Yeah.
I think she had them for a year and a half. Like, they really lasted.
Wow.
And then we went back to our to usually get them done through. And I got them back. And like I don't get angry that much, but when I got her new ones back, I was like, these are crap.
Yeah. Like,
just so crap. So thick. They just look like they could have fit anyone. They weren't made for her. Yeah, and then she put them on. She could barely walk in them. She was in tears. She was so uncomfy.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just furious.
Yeah, like, fair.
Right. And then even when I actually brought them back because I'm like, they don't fit her. And they were digging in. Yep. And
blisters, awful.
Big around some parts.
Yeah.
And I was like, you didn't even it's like this quick cast mold.
Yeah.
So then, like, through the Instagram page, I put it out there, like, how do I find decent?
Yes, a good orthotist. Yep.
And then I found Tamra from Access Orthotics. She's in Wollongong.
Yeah.
And we went, we've been going to her for, like, 4 years now.
Yeah.
And I was amazed. Like, she said the initial appointment will be an hour and a half. And I was like, why? But she's so thorough. She measured.
Awesome.
She takes videos. Right. She makes a cast, but then she does 3D printing, and it was just the craziest experience. Then she books 2 follow-up appointments.
Awesome.
Watches, and so we found our person. But she's so passionate about it too because she just knows, like, we're lacking here.
Yeah.
I had so many therapists reach out to me, and they were the same. They're like, it's disgraceful. Like,
it's such a big part of your life, of your child's life, in wearing the AFOs all day, every day. And so if they're not right, they really, it really impacts their lives.
So why do we use a different, do they believe the Australian ones work better, the Australian
therapists? I just think we're just behind. Like, we're not advanced in that area yet. And Tamra is, she was actually a year ago conducting, like, this huge research project to, like, bring this wealth of knowledge to Australia and train more people. And so I think we'll get there. But, yeah, especially 4 years ago, it was.
Yeah.
And then I know so many kids will still be getting those cuts. But you don't know any better.
No, you don't. Of course not.
To go.
No, there's a handful down here in Melbourne. So,
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let's talk a bit about Kirk came on to be part of the Beans.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what it was like being married and coming, doing all of this, and because I know there were some struggles.
Yeah. So Kirk and I, we actually had our 14th wedding anniversary this week.
Oh, congratulations.
But been together for 20 years.
We're right, baby. Yeah.
Married. And he would, before we were really young, the thought of, he would talk to me sometimes about having a child with a disability and how scary he thought that would be. It was actually something he thought about, something I thought about.
Right.
Didn't faze me. Like, yeah, I just didn't think about it. And I just remember that now. I'm like, I remember there were a few conversations we had. Anyway, then when Willow, when she was early and we got that routine brain scan, I wasn't coping to start with. People, like, it was just so much. So he sort of was my rock. Like, he was like, yep, he was there. He came to every appointment. He was so strong. He never showed that any of it upset him. He was just, he was amazing. He's always been a hands-on dad. So,
and he builds things.
Yeah, but just kept it to himself. And he's very good at that. Like, he has quite a stressful job, but come home and you wouldn't know. Like, he keeps it to himself.
Yeah.
Which I now know that he does. But so I think once Willow, I did start the Instagram page and I was feeling just so empowered by these other parents and connected and confident in my parenting journey. And I think that's when he internally must have felt like, oh, I don't have to be as strong anymore.
Yeah.
Still didn't show me. Yeah. So sort of we just kept going on.
Of course.
Got very strong marriage, like barely fight, like we're the best of friends. So I guess there was, when did that happen? Like it just got to a stage where one day randomly we went to a wedding and this is completely random. He was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like you guys would be better off without me. Aww. I need to go. And I was like, what are you talking? Like just flabbergasted out of nowhere. We hadn't had a fight. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he actually left for a week and it was the darkest time ever. But it turns out he had just a mental breakdown. They said he had situational depression and it stemmed from Willow's birth. And so he had trauma from everything we'd been through, the operation, everything, but didn't talk about it with anyone, didn't really talk to me about it. I was talking to all these parents all over the world.
Yes, that's right.
I was fine.
Yeah.
And he always did seem so happy. So, and I know him really well. Like I know him. And I'm like, he's fine. But then when it all came to play, I just started thinking back and I'm like, oh, he was a little bit more snappy. The girls did stress him out a little bit more. He was drinking a little bit more than he normally. So looking back, there are all these little signs. But you're so busy.
Of course, there's not much room.
They're happy. Yeah. I just kept going along with life. So it was a really difficult 6 months. He sort of got better and then spiraled again. And in the end, went to a doctor. He got medication. They diagnosed him with depression. And he decided not to stop drinking because he realized he was drinking to numb this pain that he was internally feeling. And he hasn't drank for 2.5 years now. And he is he's doing amazing. He's doing amazing. And he actually said he wishes he spoke up sooner. And because he's like, I feel like I miss so much of Willow and Ava's life. He's like, when you were celebrating all these achievements that she was doing, all the little inch stones and things like that, he's like, I couldn't see it. Like I just was such a dark place. And then even I love that I've got Willow's account because he was actually looking with Willow at it the other night. They went all the way back and he was just like, and Willow thought it was fantastic. They were laughing and he's like, I just don't remember any of it.
Yes, it's all there.
And he's like, it's just so sad. So he's really passionate about men's mental health. Started well-being programs at work. Yes. Really passionate about it because he's like, no one should have to waste their life feeling this way. Like, and pretending they're okay. So it was the absolute worst thing that happened, but the best as well. Now he's truly happy.
And he can tell his truth.
And thank God he told you.
Yeah, thank God he told you.
Yes. Oh, I know, I know. But, journey.
He's I don't know him. I only know him through the beans, but he just seems like a really awesome human.
Yeah.
He's the best human, the best human. And the girls idolize him. They, Willow, she'll say he's her favorite. But I'm not allowed to put Willow to bed. I'm not allowed to do anything. Like, Dad has to put her to bed.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
It's so beautiful. So it's really nice.
I love the dad of daughters. We have got three daughters too, and the times I've found my husband like brushing hair and doing ponytails and all the things, like he's got two brothers, one sister, but mainly boys in his house. See him with the three girls and doing all that. I've got a photo of him at the Royal Children's with the pink backpack on and all gorgeous. That gorgeous stuff. Yeah. And you know that they you know, CP dads.
It's such a powerful relationship.
Yeah, it really is. And he'll be in there because with my twins, we'd have one having surgery, the other one. So one would take us, one would go in with one to have the general, the other one would go in with the other. Like we were a team.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. It was Father's Day the other, Father's Day. Yeah. Mm. But the girls had a gymnastics competition. It was 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's rude.
Like, I'm like, babe, I'm like, how about you just, you sleep in, I'll take the girls and then you can just have a nice sleeping on Father's Day and we'll come home and celebrate. It's like, no way. I'm going with the gymnastics.
Oh,
yeah. Yes, it is.
Speaking about gymnastics, tell us about Willow and her gymnastics. Oh, I love seeing it.
Mm. Oh, she's incredible. So she, like Willow tries everything. Nothing's too hard for her. The other day, actually, we went on this huge hike. I'm like, I don't think you're going to be able to do it. She's like, yes, I will, Mum. And she did. So that's just her attitude. Like, I can do anything. I will do everything. So Ava was doing gymnastics and Willow would go along and watch. And she was like, I want to do gymnastics. I got her into gymnastics and she did one-on-one. She loved it. They had to help her with everything. She didn't care. Like, she just thought it was fabulous. Mm. That she was, it wasn't a therapy. She was just doing activity like
Ava.
Like
everyone else. Yeah.
And then Ava started competing in gymnastics. So Willow was like, I want to compete. I'm like, oh, like she sort of caught me off guard. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. Because to compete in how Ava does, you have a person that you work with and you perform all these skills together. So I was like, all right, I'm like, I'll talk to the club and I'll see what they say. And so I spoke to them and Em, her name is, and she was like, oh, she's like, yeah, she's like, of course you can. She's like, I don't know how, there's not a program, so let me figure it all out. So she got in contact with New South Wales Gymnastics, and there had never been a child with a disability who'd competed before.
Unbelievable.
So they had to write the program.
Like, right.
So Willow was the first one to ever compete, and she does, and because to compete, like it's very strict gymnastics. If you want to compete, if you're in level one or two, you do 2 days a week for 2 hours a day. So I was like, well, it's 4 hours a day, 4 hours a week. And she's like, I don't care. So but she did it. She's just gymnastics has been everything for her.
Aww.
Like to that gym. She's just got all these friends. They all love her. She loves them. She's just part of it. No one looks at her like she's different. She can't do it. She has cerebral palsy. Like no one cares. And like they shouldn't, but it's just amazing watching her there. She just beams and she's so happy for that 2 hours.
Aww.
So she's got a beautiful partner who's a teacher and she said, I'll be her partner. So she did her first comp and it was just the best thing.
What a day.
Everyone was because they're quite a long day. Like that first comp was 6 hours and
far out.
The same song plays over and over.
Oh, gosh.
Why can't they just do different songs?
Goodness me.
So it's a very long day, but when Willow came on, everything's quiet because, like, they haven't seen my girl with cerebral palsy. She has to do modified versions. Obviously, she can't do a cartwheel, so she does a version of the cartwheel. She sends it to them, what it looks like, and then they mark her based on that. And it's just amazing. And she's so confident doing it. It's incredible. She's actually got a competition this weekend. I can't wait. Like it's
so great.
The best thing ever. And she got gold. She got first.
Woo.
I won the whole thing, Mum.
I'm like, wow. It's the best part sometimes.
Against anyone else, but you did.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. She was. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, and she just, she's and on there. Like makes the crowd go wild. Like she
of
gets it.
Of course.
Like, yeah. It's just the best.
And she's paving the way and so are you.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Now there's actually a little girl with cerebral palsy that started at her gym. She came to a walker and she's like, I saw Willow do gymnastics.
Yes.
There are so many parents that are doing gymnastics now. And it's incredible.
Like she's something what the little girls want to do in primary school. My girls couldn't do handstands and cartwheels and it was very upsetting for them at school.
Yeah. It's just amazing. And we put our, Shirley does physio once a fortnight for now. and it's on a Saturday, but her physio is like, the amount of gains and strength she's getting.
That's right.
From this is so good. And she does get tired, but if she's ever tired, like her teacher, the owner there, will be like, Willow, you're training, because Willow loves to train and teach. So she'll get her to come around with her, and all the level six highest girls, Willow will go, be like, nah, do it this way.
So, that's the best.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh,
and so now glad. Somewhere along this story, a little third baby arrived, yeah?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
It's another one. So we actually were only going to have two.
Yep.
And Kirk, I always wanted three. Kirk is very much like, we've got so much going on. Mm. And he was worried. What if we have another premature birth? Yes. Something goes wrong.
Mm. Once you've seen something go wrong, you're just aware.
It was a worry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, well, it is true. Like, how could I? I just thought it would be selfish of me. Mm. Have a baby. And I already felt guilty about leaving Ava out and things like that. So Indy was a surprise. But once we found out, we were just over the moon. Mm. It was just the best thing ever. But funnily enough, I wasn't worried. I always thought that I'd be so scared along the pregnancy, like came early. I wasn't worried at all. It was a great pregnancy. She was actually, we had a planned C-section for her because I was at risk of the same, like ruptures and things like that. She's just the best thing ever. And
she was funny in those.
She was funny.
Very funny.
She's so funny. She's a cracker.
Well, they all are. They're all full of pizzazz,
aren't they?
They are.
Yeah. They are. So sassy. They must get it from Kirk. So she actually turned six
massive. Wow.
But she's she was like, I know it's so cliche, like the missing puzzle piece, but
yeah,
it was just amazing once we had her how much our life changed. Like,
yes.
It took so much of the spotlight.
Yes, I understand that.
Cerebral palsy. It just was different. And it was great for Willow. Willow thought,
She's like, a big sister.
Yeah, like Willow would pretend to be a mom all the time.
Yeah.
Really good for that role.
Oh, I loved all her alter egos.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Katie. I actually saw a video the other day of Willow going, Lily, because Lily was her daughter.
Yeah.
Her daughter that she had. But she would always call Indy Lily and like, like, who the hell is this?
These videos were amazing, people.
Yeah, was go just back the and highlight. Look at them all.
Go Willow CP journey.
They are amazing.
I'll tag it
Ron,
in our.
Ron was the husband.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
So funny.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
I feel like we all felt like we knew you.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Everyone would always ask for more Ron content. Like,
yes.
He's like, he's still not good. He still just doesn't do anything. Feeds the knackers. But I'm like, I don't know where she got these roles from, because Kirk's not like that.
No, but it's brilliant.
But, yeah.
Ron always, as well.
Doesn't help me. Like, oh, God. So she's very entertaining. It's a very entertaining house.
Extremely. Yes.
Now tell us about Kindship.
Yes.
Because we love it, but we want everybody else to know.
Yeah. And we interviewed the founder a couple of years ago. So tell us about your role.
So Summer was following along Willow's page for a while. And she – so Kindship was called Able Finder, I think.
Yes,
it was about
that's right.
4 years ago. Yeah. And Summer, for those who haven't seen the episode, she's our CEO.
Yep.
She has a diagnosis of autism herself, and she was a speech therapist. So she was constantly seeing these parents come in and they just looked exhausted. And she'd work with these children, and it just every appointment she was like, who is looking after these families? We're giving the children all these tools and all the tools to help their kids, but who is actually helping them? And then one day she went outside, and the parent she just had, she saw her child was in the car, and she was just breaking down crying in the car. And that's when Kindship was born. She's like, there has to be a place for parents to connect and inspire and help each other. And so that's how Kindship was born. it changed the client ship 2 years ago when I came on board. She reached out to me and I started just writing some blogs. I was doing some blog writing, and she loved watching Willow's videos as well and all the early intervention things we were doing. So I came on sort of in that capacity and role. And Sandy and Steph, they came on as well. So they had a parent wellness Facebook group. So we all came on as co-founders and we've done so much in that 2 years. I'm now head of marketing, so I'm on their socials.
And it's beautiful. Their socials are so beautiful.
Doing ridiculous things.
So beautiful.
So at the moment we've just launched plan management. So
yes, which is enormous.
Yeah, so we were running kindship off grants and fundraising and things like that, because the reality is it's a free app, but we need to get money from somewhere. We actually, it was just a common theme that just kept coming up with our community. Parents were struggling with the NDIS. They didn't understand it. It was overwhelming. It was so stressful. And so that's what sort of sparked this idea. What about if we do plan management but do it in the clientship way?
Oh, like awesome.
More than plan management. It's not just about paying invoices.
Yeah.
It's that community aspect, but educating and like we're learning from each other. On top of that, we're just about to launch next week. These are some free tools. So it's sort of to show a sneak peek of what we do with Premium and how we are more than just a plan manager. But one of them is, which is amazing, is a trial bio form. And it's all online. And even that can be exhausting and daunting to write down like a form so people understand and know your child. So we've done it in a way that they're really simple questions with examples, so you don't have to use too much power and it's just not hard. So you fill out this comprehensive sort of form. We turn it into we put it all together, we put it on the app, and we give you a unique secure link so you can share that with anyone. So like it was smart. Willow School, and there's a new casual teacher, and I was like, oh my God, they don't know.
Yes.
We're like, hey, I've got this link. Did you want to check it out?
So good.
It's easy to read.
So good.
My favorite part of it is the bottom part where it gives you opportunities to say, if I am struggling with, you can do this. Because people don't understand. Like Willow does a lot of things that might perceive as, oh, she's being disruptive, but it actually means something else. So it's just all about getting people to understand your child. So that's number one. And the other thing we're doing is breaking down an NDIS plan. So a common theme is parents know their budgets and they get the gist, but it's confusing to know the different categories.
Yes, and core supports. Or just who even knows what they mean?
So it breaks down the plan and gives you suggestions of actually how to maximize it with different therapies, which is also will be useful. Everyone's on a wait list at the moment. But have this bucket of money to use for like speech therapy, say, but there's no speech therapist around. So what it will also help with is letting you know what other things you can do
to
help with those goals, because you just don't know.
So
that's very exciting. That'll be coming out next week, and it's free for everyone. If it's a link to Premium, great. If it's not, they have these free tools on the app.
And you make great little videos.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about, well, someone else has got an alter ego in your house.
You have an alter ego.
I actually put it on socials today. So we've got a character, Barb.
Yeah, I love Barb. Barb is me. Yeah.
Barb is all of us.
Yes.
When Summer, the CEO, put it to me, she said, know how you do all your videos?
Yeah.
What about if we had, because in the app we've got a support chat. And then she's like, what about if it was more than a support chat? Like, because we've got some crazy tech wizards that do all these amazing things, that if it's, because most of the time parents, we don't have time to chat during the day. It's right when you're like, what does that mean? So the idea is you can write anytime and you'll get an answer. Obviously, you can speak to a real person as well. But Summer's like, what do you call a Barb? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, could be this character. And I just got so excited. I've made this character called Barb, and she's a hoot. So she's like, what about if Barb also came onto socials? I'm like, oh, okay. So Barb's my alter ego on socials.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and it's just about, like, on socials, it's about educating, like educating about the NDIS and all the overwhelming, stressful things. Don't make any sense in a super, super simple way that's just relatable, funny every now and again.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't have to be so serious.
Yeah,
and,
it doesn't.
Oh, and it's just so nice to have something light.
Yes, it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's really good.
So we'll see how it goes.
Well, we like it. It's got the P stamp of approval.
Totally. And if people have ideas for Barb, they can contact you.
Ask Barb a question.
Yes.
What would Barb do?
What would Barb do? WWBJ.
And that's what we want. Barb's there to help.
Yeah, brilliant.
I've actually been making some reels and I'm like just cracking up laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Like, what are you doing, Mum? I'm like, I'm Barb.
Yeah, I would love that.
Oh, my God.
It's brilliant, Tara. You've got great entrepreneurial skills, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I like being creative.
And, yes.
I just go with it. Like, I don't say no, just try to have fun with it and just be creative. The people I work with are amazing. Like, I feel like I do the crazy creative things, but they're just amazing. Steph and Sandy, like, they just care so much about the community. It's just, I work with great people.
Oh, brilliant. And probably at a time where you were starting to think about, what am I going to do?
Well, that's it. When Willow started kindergarten, I was like, oh, I can start working again. And I was like, but when?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I have to take her to and from school.
Yes.
Okay. So that's about 5.5 hours in the day. And I'm like, where am I going to work?
I know. It's the P question.
It is the P question.
Well, because she came early, I didn't end up finishing. I did my 9 weeks of my 10-week internship, and they wanted me to redo the whole thing.
Oh, my garbage.
Mean.
Yep.
So I actually started working in my sister-in-law was a director at a preschool, and I'm like, can you just give me 2 days for this amount? And she was amazing. She's like, yep, do it. But even though I struggled with that still, like just those 2 days, so when Summer reached out, I was like, oh, this is amazing. And that's another thing we're passionate about with Kindship. We want to create jobs for families because we get it.
Yes, totally.
Yep.
Regular job.
Yeah.
Yep.
Our plan pages, they'll all be parents. Lived experience, flexible working, because we just get it.
We have to.
Do. And the appointments and things. Like, I'm just like, oh, I've got therapy today, I won't be on.
Yeah, and no one minds.
No,
that's the best about P women.
Oh, the absolute best.
Yeah. Kate and I do that all the time.
Come today. I can't do this. This has happened.
Got to do it from home.
You don't even have to explain it.
No, like, it's the best.
Okay.
Yeah, we just go, sure.
That's like us. Yeah.
In a week I might remember to tell you why, but I might not.
It doesn't matter.
Don't care.
You just get it. Yeah, and that's what's great about being around a community that understands. Like, they just don't have to explain.
It's life-changing.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, well, we're thrilled for you. You found your niche.
Yeah.
We could talk forever and ever and ever, but we're getting close to time. Is there anything we've missed that you want to tell the world?
I don't know. I feel like we could just talk for
forever.
I think we've covered a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, it's lovely to talk to you. It's lovely.
Yes. And congratulations on all the terrific things you've done. Well done for opening up that world of sharing your daughter and everything to the world on Instagram and showing people how to do it so beautifully.
And having fun with it.
And having fun.
And it just felt like this house of love. It didn't feel like, oh, this is a burden.
No, not one bit.
It was a beautiful.
It really wasn't. Willow actually wants to take over the account.
Of course. Yep.
Like, I'm going to take over and inspire people.
Oh, she will.
She will.
She already does. Yep. So the world's her oyster, hey?
Yeah.
So keep a lookout for
that. Oh, we will be. We're a big fans. Yeah, so thank you so much. Thank you. And keep going. You're doing a tremendous job.
It was so nice chatting.
So lovely.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.